All right, so today we're going to do a deep dive into something super important for any aspiring nurse out there.
Oh, yeah.
Nursing management during labor and birth.
Like one.
Huge topic. We
Absolutely.
know it can feel like a ton of information to wrap your head around, but
For sure.
we've gone through and we're going to break it down for you.
Yeah.
So we went through a really comprehensive chapter on this whole topic,
Yeah.
all the concepts, the procedures, like even a study guide with like practice questions.
Oh, wow.
And we've pulled out like what you absolutely need to know.
The essentials.
Yeah, the must-knows.
Yeah.
So our goal today is to give you a clear, concise understanding of the most important aspects of nursing care during labor and birth.
Right. And I think what's so important for nursing students to remember is that this is not just like theoretical knowledge.
Right.
It's like the foundation of safe and effective care,
Yeah,
you know?
exactly.
So understanding how to assess both the mother and the baby throughout the entire process, that's really what allows you to go beyond just following, you know, protocols or whatever,
Right.
and actually interpret
Yeah.
what your assessments are telling you. You
Yeah.
can respond correctly.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's jump right in with maternal assessment.
Okay.
I mean, it might seem obvious, but like constantly checking on the mom is so vital for a safe delivery.
Yes.
So we're talking about vital signs, right? Blood pressure, heart rate, respiratory rate, temperature.
The staples.
Yeah, it's like getting a baseline picture of how her body is handling labor.
Exactly. And each of those vital signs, you know, kind of gives you a different piece of the puzzle.
Right.
So, like, for example, if her blood pressure suddenly spikes and stays high,
Okay.
that could be a sign of preeclampsia, which is a serious condition, you know, involving hypertension
Great.
and even potential organ damage. So
Oh,
that's a red flag right there.
yeah, for sure.
And then if her heart rate keeps going up, you know, that might mean she's stress dehydrated or even like an early sign of infection. And then respiratory rate changes could just be from pain or anxiety,
Right.
but they could also point to something more serious like hyperventilation or, you know, a respiratory problem developing.
Gotcha.
And then, of course, a high temperature,
Yeah.
always a sign of a potential infection,
Right.
which can be really dangerous for both mom and baby if you don't catch it early.
For sure. So it's not just like looking at numbers on a chart.
Right.
You have to really interpret them.
In the context of everything else.
Exactly. Okay. And then there's the whole pain aspect,
Oh, yeah.
which is so subjective, right?
So subjective.
What one person finds totally manageable could be excruciating for someone else.
Totally.
So as nurses, how do we assess and like really understand what the mom is going through?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Pain is such an individual experience. And that's why it's so important to have like a really consistent, thorough approach to pain assessment.
Okay.
You know, you can't just rely on a number on a pain scale.
Right.
I mean, those scales can be helpful. But you got to look at the bigger picture.
Okay.
Like, how is she coping with the contractions? Is she able to talk between them?
Okay.
What's she doing to try to feel better? And is it working?
Gotcha.
And even her body language,
Yeah.
you know, her facial expressions are huge.
Right.
Is she showing signs of distress, even if she's saying she's okay? It's really about getting the full picture of her pain experience and how she's responding.
Totally. Okay, so now let's talk about assessing labor progression,
All right.
which often involves the dreaded vaginal exam.
Yeah.
I remember learning about cervical dilation and effacement and fetal station.
It's a lot.
It was like learning a whole new language.
It is.
Can you break down why this exam is so crucial and what each of those terms actually means?
Yeah, so the vaginal exam is basically our way of seeing how labor is moving along.
Okay.
It tells us about the changes happening in the cervix and how the baby's moving down.
Gotcha.
So cervical dilation is measured in centimeters from 0 to 10, and it tells you how open the cervix is.
Right.
When it gets to 10 centimeters, that means it's fully dilated and the baby can start coming to the birth canal.
So that's the goal,
That's the goal.
10 centimeter.
10 centimeters.
Okay. And then effacement. What was that again?
So effacement is how thin the cervix is getting.
Okay.
It starts out pretty thick, but as labor goes on, it gradually thins out until it's like paper thin. We call that 100% effaced.
Okay.
You can think of it like stretching a rubber band.
Oh, okay.
It gets thinner as it
That
stretches.
makes sense.
Yeah, and then fetal station.
Okay.
That tells you where the baby's head is in relation to the pelvis.
Okay.
We use a scale from -3 to +3.
Gotcha.
So a negative number means the baby's head is still high up.
Okay.
0 means it's at the level of the ischial spines, which are like bony landmarks in the pelvis.
Right.
We call that engaged.
Okay.
And then a positive number means the baby's head has moved down past the spines and is getting close to being born.
So closer to coming out.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. And you also mentioned membrane status. Is that part of the vaginal exam too?
Yeah. So during the exam, we also check if the amniotic sac is still intact or if it's ruptured.
Okay.
If it's ruptured, we note the time, the color, and the smell of the fluid.
Okay. Why is that important?
Well, ruptured membranes can increase the risk of infection.
Oh, okay.
And usually lead to stronger contractions.
Gotcha. So lots of important information to gather from that exam.
Definitely.
Okay, so along with the vaginal exam, we're also monitoring uterine contractions, right? The driving force of labor.
Yes.
What are the key things we're looking for when we assess contractions?
So when we're looking at contractions, we focus on four main things.
Okay.
Frequency, duration, intensity, and resting tone.
Okay. Break those down for me.
Sure. So frequency is how often contractions are happening.
Okay.
We measure it from the start of one contraction to the start of the next.
Okay.
Duration is how long each contraction lasts.
Yeah.
From beginning to end. Intensity is how strong the contraction is.
Okay.
We usually check that by feeling the mom's belly over her uterus during a contraction.
Okay.
And we describe it as mild, moderate, or strong.
So like how hard is her belly?
Yeah, kind of like how hard is it to press?
Okay.
Mild feels like the tip of your nose.
Okay.
Moderate is more like your chin, and strong is like your forehead really firm.
Interesting. Okay, and then resting tone, why is that important?
So resting tone is all about how relaxed the uterus is between contractions.
Okay.
And it's super important because that relaxation allows for good blood flow to the placenta.
So the baby can get oxygen.
Exactly. If the uterus doesn't relax enough between contractions, the baby might not get enough oxygen.
And that could be dangerous.
Definitely.
Okay, so we've talked about the vaginal exam and contractions.
Uh-huh.
What about Leopold's maneuvers? I've always been a little intimidated by those.
Yeah, they sound kind of fancy, right?
Yeah, what are they exactly, and what did they tell us about the baby?
So Leopold's maneuvers are basically a series of four specific ways we feel the mom's belly.
Okay.
To figure out the baby's position.
So like where the baby is and how it's lying.
Exactly. So the first maneuver is feeling the top of the uterus.
Okay.
To see what fetal part is up there.
Okay.
Usually you'll feel the baby's bottom if it's breech,
mm-hmm.
or the head if it's head down.
Okay.
The second maneuver is feeling both sides of the belly to find the baby's back.
Okay.
The back feels smooth and firm,
mm-hmm.
while the arms and legs feel kind of bumpy.
Gotcha.
Knowing where the back is important because that's the best place to hear the baby's heartbeat.
Makes sense.
The third maneuver is feeling just above the pubic bone.
Okay.
To see what part of the baby is coming first and if it's engaged in the pelvis.
Okay, so that's the presenting part.
Yeah.
All right, and what about the fourth maneuver?
So for the fourth one, you usually face the mom's feet.
Okay.
And feel the lower belly to see how flexed the baby's head is.
Okay.
And how far down it is in the pelvis.
So basically, all four of these maneuvers help us get a good picture of the baby's position.
Yeah, it tells us the lie. Like, is the baby longitudinal or transverse?
Right.
The presentation, like head down, breech, or shoulder,
mm-hmm.
and the position, like how the baby's head is related to the mom's pelvis.
And all of that is crucial for managing labor and delivery.
Absolutely.
So that's a really thorough look at maternal assessment.
Yes.
But, of course, we can't forget about the baby.
Right.
So let's move on to fetal assessment.
Okay.
I know analyzing the amniotic fluid is one of the first things we look at for potential problems.
Exactly. The amniotic fluid can tell us a lot about how the baby's doing in there.
Okay.
Normally, it should be clear or maybe a little cloudy,
mm-hmm.
with a mild smell.
Okay.
And maybe some vernix, which is that cheesy white stuff that coats the baby's skin.
Yeah.
But if we see certain things, that can be a red flag.
Like what?
Well, if the amniotic fluid is green, that means the baby has passed meconium.
Yes.
Their first poop. That can happen for a few reasons, like if the baby isn't getting enough oxygen.
Oh, no.
Or if it overdue, or even just sometimes it's normal.
Okay.
But it does raise the risk of meconium aspiration syndrome.
What's that?
That's when the baby inhales the meconium during birth.
Okay.
And it can cause breathing problems.
That sounds serious.
It can be. And then if the fluid is cloudy or has a bad smell, that could mean there's an infection.
Oh, wow.
Which is dangerous for both mom and baby.
Okay, so we definitely want to keep a close eye on that amniotic fluid.
Sure.
And then, of course, there's fetal heart rate monitoring.
The FHR.
The FHR.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Why is it so important, and what exactly are we looking for?
So the FHR is like our window into how well the baby's getting oxygen.
Okay.
We're constantly checking it to make sure everything's okay.
Gotcha.
The normal heart rate for a baby is between 110 and 160 beats per minute.
Okay.
If it goes outside that range for a while, it could mean the baby's in trouble.
So what are some of the things that could cause the heart rate to be abnormal?
Well, if it's too slow, less than 110 beats per minute,
okay,
that's called bradycardia.
Bradycardia.
And it could be because of a few things, like the baby not getting enough oxygen,
okay,
low blood pressure in the mom,
yeah,
the umbilical cord getting compressed,
right,
or even some medications the mom might be on.
Wow.
And then if it's too fast, more than 160 beats per minute,
okay,
that's tachycardia.
Tachycardia.
And that could be caused by things like fever in the mom,
mm-hmm,
infection in the baby,
okay,
anemia in the baby,
mm-hmm,
or even early signs of the baby not getting enough oxygen.
So we really have to pay attention to those numbers.
Absolutely. And it's not just about the actual number.
Okay.
We're also looking at the patterns in the heart rate.
Like what?
Like accelerations and decelerations.
Okay. What are those?
So accelerations are when the baby's heart rate goes up suddenly.
That's, okay.
And then comes back down.
Okay.
It's usually a good sign. It means the baby's doing well.
That's good.
Yeah. And then decelerations are when the heart rate goes down. Okay. And there are a few different types depending on the shape of the dip and when it happens in relation to contractions.
Okay. So let's break those down.
Okay. So first we have early decelerations.
Okay.
These are gradual dips in the heart rate that mirror the contractions.
What does that mean?
So they start when the contraction starts.
Okay.
And end when the contraction ends.
Gotcha.
They're usually caused by the baby's head getting squeezed during the contraction.
Okay.
And they're not usually a big deal.
So that's good.
Yeah. Then we have variable decelerations.
Variable decelerations.
These are sudden dips in the heart rate.
Okay.
And they can happen at any time.
So not necessarily tied to the contractions?
Right. They're usually caused by the umbilical cord getting compressed.
Oh, okay.
Which cuts off the baby's oxygen supply for a bit.
So how do we fix that?
Well, usually we try to relieve the pressure on the cord.
Okay.
By changing the mom's position.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And then lastly, we have late decelerations. These are gradual dips in the heart rate that start after the contraction has already begun.
Oh, okay.
And they end after the contraction is over.
Gotcha.
They're often a sign that the placenta isn't working as well as it should.
So the baby's not getting enough oxygen?
Exactly. And that's a situation where we need to act quickly.
To help the baby.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So all of these FHR patterns are super important for nurses to understand. It's like a,
yes,
whole language in itself.
It is.
Okay. So now let's switch gears a bit.
Okay.
And talk about comfort and pain management during labor. I mean, it's a really intense experience.
Oh, for sure.
So what can nurses do to help moms feel more comfortable and manage the pain?
So one of the most important things we do is promote comfort and pain relief.
Mm-hmm.
And we always start with non-pharmacological methods.
Meaning without medication.
Exactly. Things that don't involve drugs.
Okay. What are some examples?
Well, breathing techniques are really helpful.
Okay.
Like what they teach in LeMay's classes.
Right.
It helps moms focus and cope with the contractions.
Makes sense.
And changing positions a lot is also key.
Okay.
Being upright can help the baby move down and often feels better for mom.
Gotcha.
Hydrotherapy, like warm showers or baths, can be amazing for relaxation and pain relief.
I can imagine.
And then massage and counter pressure.
Okay.
Especially on the lower back. Can really help, especially if the baby's in a posterior position.
So back labor.
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
We can also use things like heat or cold packs.
Right.
Aromatherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And just creating a calm and supportive environment.
So it's really about supporting the mom in whatever ways work best for her.
Exactly. Giving her options and helping her feel empowered.
I love that. And then if those non-pharmacological methods aren't enough...
Yeah.
Or if the mom prefers medication, we have pharmacological options too, right?
We do. The main ones are opioids, epidurals, and nitrous oxide.
Okay, let's talk about each of those.
So opioids like fentanyl or morphine,
mm-hmm,
can be given through an IV or a shot. They work systemically, meaning they affect the whole body.
Okay.
They can be really effective for pain relief, but it's important to watch for side effects.
Like what?
Well, the big one is respiratory depression.
Meaning they slow down breathing.
Exactly. And that can happen in both the mom and the baby.
Oh, wow.
So we have to monitor their breathing really carefully.
Especially if the medication is given close to delivery?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, what about epidural?
So an epidural is a regional anesthetic.
Okay.
Which means it numbs a specific area of the body.
Okay.
In this case, the lower body.
Gotcha.
It involves injecting medication into the epidural space in the back.
Okay.
And it can provide really good pain relief while still allowing the mom to be awake and alert.
That's good.
Yeah. But one thing we have to watch out for is low blood pressure.
Okay. Why does that happen?
The medication can cause the blood vessels to relax.
Oh, okay.
Which can lower blood pressure.
So we need to monitor that closely.
Yes. And make sure the mom is getting enough fluids.
Gotcha. Are there any other side effects?
Some women experience itching, nausea, or trouble peeing.
Okay, good to know. And then lastly, nitrous oxide.
Yeah, nitrous oxide is a gas that the mom breathes in.
Okay.
It provides mild to moderate pain relief.
Okay.
And can also help with anxiety.
Gotcha.
It works really quickly and wears off quickly, too.
Interesting. And what about side effects?
Some women feel dizzy or nauseous.
Okay. So it's important to talk to moms about all the options.
Absolutely. Explain the pros and cons and let them decide what's best for them.
Absolutely. All right. So we've covered a lot of ground here.
We have.
Maternal assessment, fetal assessment, pain management.
All the essentials.
Now let's talk about the actual nursing care provided during the different stages of labor and birth.
Okay.
It's not just one continuous process, right?
No.
There are distinct stages, each with its own set of priorities.
Exactly.
So walk me through those stages.
Okay. So the first stage of labor starts when contractions become regular.
Okay.
And it lasts until the cervix is fully dilated to 10 centimeters.
So that's the longest stage.
Yeah. Usually. Yeah. And it's actually divided into three phases, latent, active, and transition.
Okay.
During this whole first stage, our main job is to keep a close eye on both mom and baby.
Okay.
We're checking their vital signs, making sure the baby's heart rate is good.
Mm-hmm.
We're encouraging mom to drink fluids, move around as much as she can.
Right.
And we're helping her manage the pain with those non-pharmacological methods we talked about.
So like breathing techniques, positioning, massage.
Exactly. And we're also educating her and her support person about what to expect.
Right.
And providing emotional support.
Yeah, that's so important.
It is.
Okay, so then we move into the second stage,
right,
which is the pushing stage, right?
Yeah, this is when the baby is actually born.
Exciting.
It is. So the second stage starts when the cervix is fully dilated.
Okay, 10 centimeters.
Yep. And it ends when the baby is born.
Gotcha. So what's our focus during this stage?
So now our main job is to coach the mom on how to push effectively.
Okay.
We encourage her to listen to her body, but we also give her guidance on when and how to push.
Gotcha.
We're also watching the baby carefully to see how it's moving down.
Right.
And looking for crowning, which is when the baby's head starts to show.
Oh, wow.
And of course, we're providing lots of support and encouragement.
Because it's a lot of work.
It is.
Okay, so the baby's born. What happens next?
So that brings us to the third stage of labor.
Okay.
Which is all about the placenta.
The placenta.
Yeah. After the baby is born, the placenta detaches from the uterine wall and comes out.
Gotcha.
So during this stage, we're watching for signs that the placenta is separating.
Like what?
Well, the umbilical cord will get longer.
Okay.
There'll be a gush of blood.
Okay.
And the uterus will change shape and feel firmer.
Okay.
Once the placenta's out, we check it to make sure it's all there.
Okay.
And we're also watching mom really closely for any signs of bleeding.
Because that can be a big problem after birth, right?
We call it postpartum hemorrhage.
Okay.
And it's something we really want to prevent.
And start on high alert.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the placenta's delivered. What's next?
So then we enter the fourth stage of labor.
Fourth stage.
Yes, this is the recovery period.
Okay.
It usually lasts for the first 1 to 4 hours after the birth.
Gotcha. So what are our priorities during this time?
Well, the main focus is making sure both mom and baby are stable.
Okay.
We're checking mom's vital signs very frequently.
Okay.
We're feeling her uterus to make sure it's firm and in the right place.
Okay.
Because if it's not, that can increase the risk of bleeding.
Right.
We're also monitoring her bleeding, making sure it's not too heavy.
Okay.
And we're encouraging skin-to-skin contact between mom and baby.
Oh, yeah.
Which helps with bonding temperature regulation and breastfeeding.
So many benefits.
It's amazing.
Wow. Okay. So we've covered a lot of ground today.
A lot.
We've talked about maternal and fetal assessment, pain management, and the different stages of labor and birth.
And the nursing care involved in each.
It's a lot to take in.
It is.
But it's all so important.
Absolutely. It's a foundation of providing safe and effective care to laboring moms and their babies.
Exactly. So for all you aspiring nurses out there, I hope this deep dive has been helpful.
I hope so.
Remember, this is just the beginning.
Right.
Keep learning, keep asking questions,
yeah,
and never stop striving to provide the best possible care to your patients.
Well said.
And on that note, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into nursing management during labor and birth.
It's been a pleasure.
See you next time.